Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
Guys, I'm so glad to have you with us. And before I introduce our guest speaker, I just have to make a note that we're so glad to have visiting from Atlanta. Okay, Maria Codias, one of the early pioneers of this church with her ever young mother that just was, can I tell them how old you were this week? Because you're not going to believe it, 80 years old this week. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah, we're excited that they're, we're always happy to have them with us when they pass through town. And so praise the Lord and happy birthday to you. Guys, I'm excited about our guest speaker today. I don't know if you know the story, but I went to school with him when I was working on my master's degree. We both did our master's degree, so he was kind of a fellow, you know, a fellow classmate. And after, you know, this was a long time ago. This was like during the days of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. and so what happened is we graduated, and then we kind of lost touch and lost contact, and, you know, as often is the case, you know, with your classmates. But during that time, David Reyes came back in the scene or came on the scene with our church. Now, by the way, speaking of David Reyes, I know you guys, he sends his love and his greeting. I talked to him this past week. He's doing really well. He's doing a lot better. In fact, so much so that he's going with us in our next trip at the end of February. Praise the Lord to the DR. So that is a praise report. Yes, absolutely. Amen. Amen. And so we're excited that he's tagging along with us because we've been praying for that. You know, his heart is over there. And so as we were embarking in our mission to build our church in the DR, you know, one of those many conversations we have, you know, he talked to us about a couple churches that he had in the Monte Cristi area of the Dominican Republic, which is maybe about 3 hours north, but you can't get there by going north. You got to go 3 hours west and then another 6 hours north or something like that. So he kept referring to the pastor in charge of one of the churches, and he kept referring to him as McGraw. McGraw. And I'm like, wait a minute, I went to school with a McGraw. You mentioned him a couple times, and we started comparing notes, and I said, is his first name Sullivan? He goes, yeah, Sullivan. I said, I went to school with that guy. You're kidding me. And so after a long time, God reconnected us through the same ministry, Compassion in Action, and we had him come and speak for us as he was passing through. And I've been to his church, which they retired from recently, but doesn't mean that they're inactive. They are presbyters in that area, up in the D.C. area. So, man, we're so excited to have them with us. I affectionately refer to him as Bishop. He always just call me Pastor, and I always say Bishop, and he says, call me Pastor, okay? But I call him Bishop. This is a term of love, okay? A term of love because, you know, but guys, I know you're going to be blessed today. I want you to give him a nice welcome to Bishop. I mean, rather, Pastor Sullivan McGraw. Okay.
Am I on? I'm on. Okay. Before you're seated, I want you to just think about this for a moment. Despite who we are, despite what we have done, and maybe even doing, God calls us friend. And because of that, we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We are to come into his courts with praise. We are to be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Come on, somebody. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And his mercy. We don't get what we deserve because of his mercy. That's why we ought to shout when God says, I'm calling you my friend. Hallelujah. I'm calling you my friend. Because my grace is sufficient for all things in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you this day. And we give you thanks that you have chosen us. We didn't choose you. You chose us. And you called us to be your own. And then you sent your very son to die for our sins. That we could be raised to newness of life. So we thank you, Lord, for the new life that we have. The pure life that for those who can ascend the hill of the Lord are they with clean hands, pure hearts. We thank you, Lord God, that we are part of that generation, that Jacob generation that seeks the Lord. And so we bless you this day for our encounter with you. For we know that it will be an encounter that changes us. And we give you the glory and honor in advance for what you're about to do. As we bless you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And then grab your Bibles before you're seated. Before you're seated, grab your Bibles and just lift your Bibles up in the air. I believe in making a faith declaration. So if you're seated already, go ahead and stand. Amen. Stand again, stand again. It's called Christian calisthenics, okay? Christian calisthenics is that you sit down, then they tell you get back up. Sit down, you say you get back up, okay? So you get exercise in church. So see, church, God ministers to the whole man. Amen. And so let's lift our Bibles. And say, Lord, well, it's not your Bible. It might be your phone. Your iPad, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you got, come on, everything you got, you know, just lift it in the air. If you don't have your Bible with you, just lift your hand, amen. Let's lift your hand and say, this is my Bible. For I believe what it says I am. For I am a child of God. And I am a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I've come this day to receive this glorious word, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I will be changed by my encounter with him, and I'll never be the same in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen,
amen.
And thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We bless the Lord for being with you today, and certainly it's a great honor to be here. And it's always my joy when I come this way. I'm headed overseas for another missions trip, but it's always my joy when I'm coming down this way to connect with my brother. We had such fun when we was in that master's program, me and him sitting in the back. You remember, you on my right. And so we had a great time, and thank God for, you know, just education. I believe education is empowerment. You know, it helps us to do all the things that God wants us to do. But I bless the Lord that he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call, you know. And so I was already called, already moving forward into my destiny. He called me, and he called me out of darkness like he did many of you, and brought me into his everlasting light and set me on a new path. And I spent 22 years in the military as a physician assistant. But then God called me out and said, I want you to preach the gospel. And so I thank God today. I've been preaching the gospel for goodness, almost 30 years now. And so it's been a good thing. And God has been a great God. Amen. But I'm glad to be with my friend. And Dennis and I just had some wonderful times together. And it's always a joy to reach out to him. You know, you're really blessed. This is a good man of God. And I can say that from experience, because I saw him. I don't see him as a pastor. I just saw him as another brother. And we studied together. When you go through adverse situations, we call this the foxhole phenomenon or the foxhole syndrome. You know, there's no culture or color in the foxhole because you're fighting a common enemy. Okay? Now, let me make this spiritual now. We are in the foxhole together, whether you realize it or not, because we have a common enemy. The Bible says you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. We have a common enemy, and he is not prejudiced. He will attack anybody he can. And so we need to recognize that together, unified, we can do all things. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 133 that the blessings of God will come upon us, the anointing that just like it came down upon Aaron and his bed and all the way down to his robe, the anointing increases through unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so it's a joy for me to look out upon a congregation and see different cultures. Amen. It's just a joy for me to see that because it's a pattern of what is going to be in heaven. But what's also very important is that we recognize that we're just not supposed to be unified here. But when we leave this place, we need to carry the same spirit of unity. Because the power of unity will overwhelm anything the enemy comes against us with. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 4, two is better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so we thank God for you being together here. And I just want you to honor for just a minute the pastor of this house. He's the angel of this house. Would you stand with me and let's honor him for who he is and what the gift he is to you as the body of Christ. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Every year I seek the Lord for a word for the year, something that will keep me focused. How many know you need to be focused? People make New Year's resolutions and they do that and they probably last, you know, a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month, and then we forget about what we had committed to doing. But I think that when you get the Word of God in your spirit, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you throughout the seasons that you'll go through in 1 year. Many of us will go in and out of different seasons in 1 year. But what's important to recognize, when you're in any season, you must know what you're supposed to do in that season. For example, in the wintertime, you don't plant seed. No, because it will not bear fruit. You got to know what to do in the season that you're in. And the one that will reveal to us what to do in those seasons is the Holy Spirit. And so the message that I began this morning with the early church, I'm going to finish with you all today. And so it won't be a complete message because we already did part one. But I'll do a quick review over some of the points that we discussed. But then we're going to go right into the second half. And the reason I'm doing that is because it allow both of you, the morning service and this afternoon service, to get the whole message. Because I believe it's a life-changing message if we can grasp it in our spirit, man, and be changed by our encounter with God today. Whenever I come to church, I come expecting two things. The two things are, first of all, I want to have an encounter with God. I didn't come to see nobody fashion. Come on, I'm not coming to see the great outfits that anybody would wear. You know, I'm not coming to even be entertained. Entertainment only lasts you for just that long. You know, a fraction of a moment or a second. I'm coming to have an encounter with the eternal God. And that will last me forever. And secondly, I'm coming to be transformed. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And it's very important to realize that. What that means is that our citizenship is really in heaven. We're here for a season, but we're going to spend eternity in heaven. And so we need to recognize that we're just here for a moment. Amen. Life is but a moment, James says in the fourth chapter. It's a vapor that here today and then is gone. Before you know it, your life going to be over. But what will you do with the life you had? See, I don't believe in the quantity of life. I believe in the quality of life. It's important for us to have the quality of life. That is, that we do something worthwhile with our life that we currently have. No moment should be wasted. Okay? Because every moment could be the last moment. None of us know when that will end. Could be an accident, whatever. But we got to take advantage and seize every moment and do it to the utmost. Amen? And just get, you know, crazy about God. Amen? And so let me just say this also. I pastored for 29 years, I believe it was. And so let me just say this. As a pastor, one of the greatest challenges I faced was twofold. And the twofold things that I faced was giving problems and serving problems. This percentage, 20% of the people in a church will do 80% of the work and 80% of the giving. 20%. I don't know you, so if the Holy Spirit convicts you, That's on you and him, because I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're giving. I don't know who you're serving, whether you're serving or not. This is just the truth. These are the facts. Okay, so that's what I want you to know, okay? And so there's a new book out by George Bonner, and he's one that gives you a lot of facts and stuff about the church, statistics about the church. George Bonner has a new book out, and it's called Pagan Christianity. And the theme, the essence of this pagan Christianity is that something happened that changed the way Christians came together. And you find that how they came together in Acts 2, starting with verse 42, right after the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened to the church, and they began to do something. And the word says they continued. That was the key word to me. They continued, and there were several things that happened. The fellowship, sitting under the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but then they went from house to house, praising God and sharing with one another. No one was lacking for anything because this early church did it this way. Well, Jesus didn't stand up in a pulpit. He was down. I have never liked preaching from up there. I didn't come from up there. I came from right there. I was in the pews and God called me up, but he didn't call me up to sit higher than anybody else because I'm just like you. Come on. I'm a sinner grateful to be saved. Amen. And all I want to do is tell you how I got where I got to and look how you can make it too, because Jesus is coming back soon. If you don't realize that, all you got to do is watch the news. The stuff that is happening in this world has been predicted by him in Matthew 24. And it's happening. It's happening. All the predictions are coming true. So I know this. I want to get to heaven. Can I get a witness? Amen. Anybody else want to go to heaven? Well, I tell you, there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes unto the Father who's in heaven except by me. And so it's not just about getting saved, though. You see, I'm going to break this thing down for you today, and then I'm going to jump into my message. You see, salvation is just the saving of your spirit. It is not the saving of your soul, nor is it the saving of your body. It's just the saving of your spirit. Your spirit and my spirit, according to the word of God, was dead. You read in Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 1. He says, you he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. Hey, look, some of you young people can relate to what I'm getting ready to say now. You was the walking zombies. What they call it? The walking dead? That's really what we were. Walking dead. Because you were up walking around. You had a soul. You had a body. And it was ruling your life. The lust of your flesh, the lust of my flesh, the lust of my eyes, the pride of life, all those things were ruling us because our spirit was dead to God. And God is really the key to the full life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. Read it right there in 1 Corinthians 15. The second man, Adam, was a life-giving spirit. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. So when we receive him, he comes into our lives. And hey, Russell and Pat, glory to God. Good to see you today. Some good friends of mine. And so when we receive God, we receive the spirit of Christ who comes to live in us and quickens our spirit that has been dead to God and makes it come alive. And now that the spirit is alive, it can once again be connected to the life source. And it's just like right now in this building, there are television waves and radio waves going through this building, but there is no receptor. So we can't hear or see what is really here. But once you plug into a receptor, then you can get it all. So somebody tell their neighbor, you got to get plugged in. Amen. You got to be plugged in. Amen. Because he's the key to it all. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is about setting the course for the new year, this 2018. And I want you to understand that I seek a word from God for every year. And this is the word he gave me for this year. And this word is going to rhyme. I always do it that way because I wanted to make sure that you remember it. Okay, even if you don't write it down, and I hope you write it down, but even if you don't write it down, it might have a nice ring so you can remember it. And then I'm gonna give you a scripture that supports it, okay? Because everything should be supported by the scriptures, amen? No man of God should preach you anything that is not in the Word of God. It should come from the Word of God because that's the Word that makes you free, amen? So here we go. This year, the unseen will become seen in 2018. Did that rhyme? Thank you, thank you, thank you for your approval. The unseen will become seen in 2018. The unseen will become seen. Now, you got to fit what is the unseen in your mind. Is that a new house? Is that a new business? Is that a new promotion? Is that health for your body? Right now, you can't see it. In fact, every report that would come to you from this world that we live in will tell you that it won't come to pass. But I'm a living witness that God is alive and well, and his word will work for you. Amen. His word will work for you and it will change everything. So when I come to church, I expect to have an encounter with God and I expect to be transformed. I expect my mind to be renewed because that's what the word of God says. We have to have our mind renewed. We're permeated and perpetrated and infused by the world system that's pressing all around us. I mean, it's all around us. You don't even have to try to get that information. It comes at you in all sorts of ways. You're riding down the street, you're going to a store, something's on the billboard or something's in the magazine. It's all over. You got your eyes. That's why God says, don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. You need to walk blindfolded in this world. Come on. In the old days, and some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but we were talking about this on the break. We was talking about, we remember the days when they would bring, the ice truck would bring milk to us and everything on a carriage, and horses would drag that. Come on, you don't know about that, but to keep that horse on track, they put blinders on that horse. And so some of us need to have blinders. I know I need blinders when I walk into 7-Eleven. Man, it's just all kind of, I need blinded just walking down the street because, come on, man. The dresses nowadays, oh, Jesus. Flesh and bone. Don't go to the beach. No, God. But here's what I'm trying to say. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. God's calling us to be different. You are a peculiar people. Come on, somebody. But see, the world calls that wrong, but I call that right. Come on. You and I need to be different. Come on. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. So I come to have an encounter with God that will change the way I think. Come on. Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be that acceptable as a living sacrifice unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. And here's what I want to start with. God is a good God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Is this a silent? Is this a silent crew? The other crew was more. Okay, y'all need to make sure. Am I in the church? Now, you know the church is not the building, right? It's the people. Is this the right place for me to be? Okay, can I get an amen every now and then? Okay, look, you know what amen means, right? So be it. So anytime something is shared that you agree with, say amen. So that means when you say so be it, that word now can come. You come into agreement, and anytime any two people touch and agree, whatever they say, come on, is going to be granted by the Spirit of God. God will do it. So when something good is said, say amen, because I want that thing right there. I want my marriage to be healed. I declare in Jesus' name, your marriage will be healed. Amen. There you go. Y'all got it now. You got it. Okay. I feel good now, man. I'm here, Dennis. I'm here. We're here. Amen. So God is a good God. Okay. Some of y'all caught it. The rest of them. Hey, look, I'm going to tell the truth. This side over here is a little weak. Okay. I don't know if y'all, I'm moving fast. I know. So God is a good God. Amen. There you go. There you go. I'm feeling better now. Amen. And the devil is a bad devil.
Amen.
And neither one of them are ever going to change. And so recognize this. No matter how the temptation comes, clothes and looking good and tantalizing and all that, know this. The ultimate purpose of that temptation is to kill, steal, and destroy. For John 10:10 says the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Destroy your life. Destroy relationships. Take things from you. Everything. But God says Jesus has come that we may have life and may have it more abundantly. Amen. So you and I got to start dreaming again. Start dreaming, because here's what God says. If you can dream it, you can have more than it. Did you get that? Okay, you got that. Oh, I got a witness up in here. She said, oh, that's right, because that's what the word of God says. Now, if you can dream it, you can have more than what you dream. There it is. That's Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able. It's not about the ability of God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. I add other things like the sister getting ready to say, imagine or dream. If you can have it. Now you say, well, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. But it's a very important clause there. According to the power that works in you. The essence of my message is going to be that second end. Of course, we all want good things. But what is this power that works in me? This dunamis. The inherent ability to do something. You see, it's not about receiving things. He says, what do you do with what you receive? James says, you must be more than a hearer of the word. You must be a doer. It's time for some of y'all to move out that pagan Christianity and sitting in the pews and getting blessed and getting fat on the blessings. It's time to get up and go to work. It's time to give so you can receive. Come on. He says, if you give, you will be, listen, you will receive blessed. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over with God pouring into your bosom. But you gotta initiate it. See, God's waiting for us to initiate some things, and we're waiting on God. Don't wait for the boat to come in, swim out and meet it. See, success is not to the person who's waiting around for success. The success comes to the person who goes out to get it. Okay? I'm not waiting for nothing to come to me. I'm going to get it. Come on, are you hearing me? And see, my life is about pleasing God, not about pleasing myself. You've got to be a God pleaser. And so today I'm going to talk to you about a God pleaser. And I'm going to show you how his life got so blessed. Because the minute you step into his role model, as soon as you start acting like he did, then guess what's going to happen to you? Your life is about to soar into the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Things are about to get... Listen, this might not be good English, but it's going to be gooder and gooder. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So turn your Bibles now. Let me give you the scripture that supports that statement. The unseen will become the seen in 2018. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And I'm going to do a quick review from the morning service, and then we're going to get into some new material. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Amen? Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let me take this thing. I like that. Praise the Lord. So now, if I was going to give a title to this message, I would call it, It's Time to Live the Good Life. It's time to live the good life. We need a little bit of peace of heaven on earth. Amen. This thing was fine in the first service. But Amen. All right. Here we go. It's time to live the good life. God does not desire that we go through life in pain, stress, depressed, discouraged, despair, anxious about things, walking in agony because of the pain that we're dealing with, troubled on every side. Those things can happen to us, but it's not the plan of God that we walk in these things. God's desires that our lives would be blessed, with less stress. Amen? And I believe it's consistent with his word. And so the word that God has given us to support this point is this. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared. It's already been prepared. Come on. The thing you've been asking about has already been prepared. The thing you're thinking about has already been prepared. The thing you're hoping for has already been prepared. The things you'd love to see happen in your life has already been prepared. Come on. It's already been prepared. God is already waiting on you. Come on. It's waiting on you. Come on. God says, this is past tense, has prepared. But here's the qualifier. For those who love him. For those who love him. It's not prepared for those who do not love him. Now, I didn't say like him. There's a lot of people in church that like God, but they don't love him. All right. All right. Let me just talk about it. Are you with me? Jesus says it this way simply. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Said a lot of people like God, but they don't love him because they don't keep his commandments. See, God is Savior and Lord. Jesus is Savior and Lord. So many people want him to be Savior. Save me from this situation. Save me from these ungodly people of my work. Save me from them friends that have been backstabbing me. Everybody want a Savior. But not too many people want to be lorded over. Because God gave us a free will. We can do whatever we want, you see. And so we don't want to be lorded. See, when God has given you and I a free will, but here's what he wants us to do. Not through authority, because he tried it and it didn't work. That was the Old Testament. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, all that. That was the old way. It didn't work. People didn't change. So he's come up with a new way. It's the way of grace. And grace is not getting what you deserve. Okay? Well, no, that's mercy. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. The undeserved favor of God. Okay? The undeserved favor of God. I might have to grab the handheld on this thing. So here you go. Listen. So here's what God wants you to understand. Through his influence, he blesses us. Hallelujah. We good? Let me turn this one on. Are we good? Okay. So he blesses us despite ourselves. He keeps on giving us good things. He blesses our life. But here's the thing. He wants to give you more than that. He has much more. And so through his influence of grace on our lives, blessing us despite ourselves, he's hoping we will make a willful decision to allow him to be Lord of our lives. That's what he's hoping for. And so he said, I've tried it the other way, you know, punishment for punishment. David, no matter how good things he did, for all those years, he committed adultery. He went to hell. Really? He went to hell. Moses, despite all the good things he did, helping the people get delivered from Egypt, he went to hell because he disobeyed God. God told him, don't strike the rock this time when they want water. Speak to it. He was trying to increase his faith at each level. It was three times he had the same test. The third time he was supposed to just speak to the rock and it would bring forth water. Moses got angry and struck the rock. It still brought forth water, but God said, because you didn't do it, you will not enter the promised land. He went to hell. Everybody in the Old Testament went to hell because there's no one who can live perfect life, Old or New Testament. None of us are perfect, not even me. Hello? So if we were operating under the Old Covenant, I'd be headed to hell, and you all would too. I don't care how good you look. I hope y'all don't. I like to have jokes, so I'll throw some things out there, okay? So, but listen, it's true. But for the grace of God, you follow? But for the grace of God, his new way of doing things is the
work of grace so we don't get those things. Mercy and grace are kissing each other during this season, this dispensation that we're in right now. And so we have an opportunity through God's influence in our lives to change our lives. Make a willful decision to allow Jesus to be Lord. And if you really pay attention to the scriptures, you will see that lordship piece come up all the time in the New Testament. It's Lord, it's Lord, it's Lord, it's Lord. Because that's what God's calling us to. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, you must not only confess with your mouth, but believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But it says you must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's the Lord. It's not the Savior Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have Jesus become the Lord of our lives. When he becomes the Lord of our lives, then that's when the doors, the windows of heaven and doors, all this starts to happen to us, man. It just gets good and gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. It just gets good. Amen. And listen, it can happen to you and I because God promises in his word. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. If we love him, we keep his commandments. And as a result of that, he blesses our life. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 10 that these things, are you still in that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:9? He said, these things now in verse 10 are revealed to us by his spirit. For what spirit knows the things of God except the spirit of God? Just as a man's spirit knows the things of that man. And he says, now, verse, I like this 12th verse. Look at this 12th verse. It says, now we have received the spirit that comes from God, that we may know these things that have been hidden, these secret things, these blessings that God has in plan, already in store, prepared for us, that he wants to release into our lives. The key is the spirit. So what we're going to talk about today in this service is a man that ran after the Spirit. He was a God chaser. He was the first God chaser that I would think that was ever seen in the Bible. He was the one that everybody identifies with because he was a man after God's own heart. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Who am I talking about? David. Yeah. So David means beloved. So hear me this carefully. What does it mean to be a person after God's own heart? Let me talk about that for a minute. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily running after the heart of God or that he had the heart of God. Here's what it means. It means that this was a man who would submit himself to the will of God. When he was confronted with his sins, he would repent of them. He would confess them and repent of it. He didn't try to blame somebody else for why I did what I did. That's why God says, this is a person after my own heart. But there's some things that happen in his life that I think will happen in our lives, consistent with this scripture that we're talking about. The eyes, the things he had never seen, the things he had never heard of, the things that were never even entered his heart, came to him because he was a person who was a God chaser. And so in the first service, I said, if the Spirit is the key to reveal all these things to us, the first thing we need to be doing, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's the first thing we need to do. We don't need to walk by our flesh. We need to walk by our Spirit. Let our Spirit lead us. And I talked about that at length. And I'm going to have Dennis help me this time. Come on, Dennis. I had my wife in the first service. Come on, Dennis. Come on up. And so, Dennis, wherever I go, you go with me. Because Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He will not only be in you, but he'll be with you. The parakletos is the Greek word. The parakletos, the one called alongside of you. So whether you realize it or not, if you are a believer, come on, you receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is walking with you. Wherever you go, he's walking with you. He's supposed to be, yeah, there he is, close. I was wondering where he was. Come on. Yeah. Hey, look, every now and then you might want to do that. You're coming into a difficult situation. Say, where is he at? He's right there. Yeah. Listen, Young E Cho was just like this brother right here. Young E Cho in his service, he has the largest assembly, a church in the world. Korea, what? How many people in that church? I think it's over like 500. It's 500,000. It's a lot of people. A lot of people, okay? He has one seat up front that no one ever sits in, right next to him. And he says, that is the Holy Spirit seat. Nobody in that church ever sits there. Because he makes it his business to recognize the Spirit's presence in his life. That's what he does. And so wherever he's walking, he believes that the Holy Spirit is talking to him. He said, go left right now, son. Okay. Stop. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Go back. Say this to this person. God loves you. Cares for you. And so excited that you are diligent about the things of God. Wait a minute. The Spirit of the Lord says, Father and Son, as your Father has done, so shall you do. But even greater. Expect greatness to be your portion because you honor your Father and you shall have long life. It'll be well for you, but you'll also have long life. So the Spirit of the Lord will reveal things to you as he's walking beside you. Okay? So this is what we have to be, walking in the Spirit. Thank you so much, Pastor Dennis. And so here, let's give him a round of applause. I think he deserves it. And so here's what I'm trying to say to you. This first service, I tell you, you need to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Because the flesh will lead you one way, but the Spirit will lead you another way. Secondly, you have to live in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says you should live in the Spirit. And so you have to live in the Spirit. And by living in the Spirit means that the characteristics and the personality of the Holy Spirit, which is outlined in Galatians 5:22, should be your portion. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, come on, kindness, all these good things that are from the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says when you walk in these things of the Spirit, you're going to be walking above the law. The law won't have any power over you because you'll be above it. You'll be living above it when you're walking and living in the Spirit. And then he says, thirdly, that we are not only to do that, but we are to allow the Holy Spirit to be absolutely in charge of our lives and everything. And so as we do this, God says the things that I've had hidden, the blessings that I've had hidden from you are about to be your portion. And so now I want to take you to a person in the Bible who did what we were talking about doing and who saw the hidden things become fulfilled in his life. You know who he is. His name is David. Turn to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Let's start there. Amen. 1 Samuel 16. See, beloved, there's a good life to be had, and it's revealed to us by the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is the catalyst and the central person in all of these coming to pass in our life. And so I want you to understand something very important before we go on any farther in this part two, if you will. Jesus has given us an advantage. The advantage that he's given us is that he said this, it's expedient or to your advantage. He says this in John 16, verse 7. He says, expedient or to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Somebody ought to shout, I have an advantage. We have an advantage, beloved. We have the advantage of the Holy Spirit living in the midst of us. That's the advantage. And see, now, remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't come and abide in everyone. He would light on somebody for a season, and then he would lift. Because these persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you have to understand, they didn't both exist in the same atmosphere or sphere of influence at one time. God was in the Old Testament, the Father, doing everything, interacting with the people. He would have angels that would come in. Jesus was one of those angels. It's called a theophany. He would show up, an angel of the Lord. He would show up and do something, and then he would leave. And so the Holy Spirit would show up and do something. He'd come upon Samson, and Samson would do something mighty. But Samson looked like Clark Kent until the Holy Spirit showed up. And it didn't have to be in a telephone booth or some closet. He would just show up. And so these people would just not expect this kind of power coming from this man who didn't look like much. But there was the Spirit of the Lord that would come upon him. And if you read that story in Judges, you will find the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. You would hear that. And so the Spirit of the Lord would visit. Well, Jesus was the one ruling in the New Testament. Okay. But he said, I got to go away. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Right now, the person that is walking and talking with you and being with you is not Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And listen, I said this in the first service. I'm going to say it in this service before we can jump into this. My wife of 51 years. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. My wife of 51 years. My wife of 51 years. You know, let me say this. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Yes, the devil did everything he could to destroy our relationship. But 51 years, folks, come on, somebody. How many know that God is good? Now, and it keeps getting gooder and gooder. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you. So listen, here's what we understood about the word. And we preach it, we teach it, we live it. See, man and woman were not brought together to compete with one another. But this now movement of the women now movement, is trying to raise women up to be what God has not intended them to be. God created the woman to be the helpmeet for the man, to help him fulfill the purpose and destiny for that family. And it's supposed to come down. God is the man of God of order. It comes down to the man and then to the woman. But you find nowadays so many women ruling in their family for several reasons. One could be the man is laid back and don't want to take charge. Come on, step up, man of God. Come on. Well, she's more spiritual than I am. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. You can be spiritual too. It's about seeking him. Come on. You can't get it if you don't go after it. I found that anything you pursue, passionately pursue, you will possess. I found that out early in my life. I was running after this sister, and she kept telling me no. Get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. I was pretty bad back in those days, and so she didn't want to have nothing to do with me. But God said to me, and I don't know how many men can say this, but I know God woke me up and told me, that's going to be your wife. And I said, okay, I got it. I'm going to get it. She kept saying no, but
passionately pursued.
I passionately pursued until I possessed. But here's what I want you to know. We are not called to compete with one another, but to complete one another. Okay? She's not only my companion, but she's my completer. Because when man was made, he was made in the image and likeness of God, so I made him one. But then he took from man a portion to make one man. So that made man no longer one. He was no longer whole. The only whole number is one. Everything else is a fraction of it. And so he said to man, listen, he took that piece from man. And then man said, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Come on, you're going to be called woman. And so he brought her right back into relationship with him. And so then God expects, come on, through this relationship that her personality, her strengths will become my strengths, which will compensate for my weaknesses. My strengths will become her strengths, which will compensate for her weaknesses. And then both of us will then be strong. Amen. And the devil can come at us, but he can't defeat us because we're going to be strong in the Lord together. Mm-hmm. Together we can make it. Amen. The enemies come to divide and destroy that way. But when you come together, so this is the same way God wants us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that ever evolving, thriving relationship till we become one with the Holy Spirit, intimate with him, just as my wife and I. That's why God compares that relationship of the marriage in Ephesians 5 to his relationship with the church. That's what he does. He's trying to help us to know the same way, brother, the same way you pursued that girl sitting beside you on your left. That's the way you're supposed to be pursuing the Holy Spirit. He said, don't put me on the spot, Pastor. Come on. But I'm just trying to say something. Amen. Listen. It's got to be that way. If we do it that way, we will have the advantage. Let's give my wife a round of applause. Amen. We'll have an advantage. Now, here's David.
And I don't have the time because we're already running out of time. Listen, we're out of time already. So I'm just going to take you through some scriptures. I know. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm not Paul. I can't preach until somebody falls off the window, breaks their neck, and then I got to heal them and raise them back up. No. I know y'all got things to do, so I'm not going to keep you much longer. But I'm going to say this. It's important for you to read this passage. God tells Samuel in the first part of that 16th chapter, 1 Samuel. He says to him, how long are you going to deal with Saul when seeing that I put him away? And he said, I need you to go by Jesse's house because you're going to anoint one of his sons for the next king. I call this the secret anointing. It's a secret anointing because it's done privately. Samuel can't make it well known because Saul would kill him. You're trying to replace me. So he had to do this secretly. It's a secret knowing. Now, here's very important what he did. This is why I said God doesn't qualify. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Okay? And so why do I say that? Because all seven of Jesse's eight sons were brought to Samuel to be anointed. And God told him, don't judge them by the outward appearance. I look at the heart. That's what it says. I'm going to tell you something. That has always blessed my life. Because people would judge me the wrong way. And they would not see the intent of my heart. And they might judge me on my behavior. But God knew my heart. And that gave me peace. Because my behavior did not indicate who I really was. And so they was talking about all these sons, the good looking ones, the tall ones and all this. No. Don't you have any sons? I got one little ruddy little boy out there guarding the sheep. Bring him in here. Brings him in here. And that's the one, God says. And he anoints him. Now, what's important is what's in that. I believe it's the 13th verse. I'm not accurate on that. I'm not sure about that. But here's what it says, and you might be able to find it in the scripture. It says that when he anointed him, the Spirit came upon David from that day forward. That was 13, right? Okay, I was right. So listen to me. It wasn't me that was right. It was the Holy Spirit. He's walking with me. He's really teaching this lesson, you know. I'm just a vessel. Okay, so here what you want to hear, understand. Remember I said this. Old Testament, the Spirit rarely abided. He would come and go. But this time, I like this boy right here. My God today, Father, in Jesus' name, may that which you have already invested in this young man be fertilized and watered, that he will fulfill the prepared destiny that you have for him in the earth realm. He is going to be a life changer. I thank you, Lord. You will put in him a boldness to declare your word to the lost and dying in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that he may be a young protege in the name of Jesus. He will not wait till he gets to be an old man. He's going to do it before he even becomes a man. God put words in his mouth and a boldness to declare that word. And we thank you for it right now because his heart is hungry for the things of God. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man of God. That boy is somebody to watch over. Amen. Look, so here's what happened. David, like him, gets anointed secretly. And as a result of this, nobody knows. He's already anointed to be the king. He doesn't become the king immediately, but he's anointed to be the king. And so what happens? God now has to lead him by the Spirit, hello, that's abiding on him to step into his destiny. So how does he do it? Through an encounter where he makes a statement, listen, is there not a cause?
Goliath was there defiling God's name in the armies of God. And David came, sent by the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to have been bringing some goods, some food to his brothers. But he comes and the brother says, "You insolent young man, you always doing this kind of thing." He said, wait a minute. Is there not a cause? See, he already had it, like I'm saying this young man does. He already had this thing to do the will of God. And so he sees an opportunity to do the will of God. He said, "Y'all won't do this." He said, "Let me go." And he goes up. They try to give him Saul's armor. Wouldn't happen. He didn't need no armor. He needed the Spirit of God. And it was already with him. He said, "I can't do this. I've never tested those." He picks up his slingshot, and on the way, he picks up 5 smooth stones. Come on. What he's getting ready to do was not just slay a giant. He was getting ready to leap into his destiny by slaying that giant. Come on. He's getting ready to move from obscurity to prominence overnight by one act of faith. He runs upon this giant, and when he runs at this giant, the giant's talking about, boy, he's sustaining him. He said, "Let me tell you something. Man, I am about to take your head off. You come to me with a javelin and a spear, I come to you in the name of the Lord. The same Lord that caused me to wipe out that bear, come on, and destroy that lion that was coming, that same God, the same God in you that's helped you to be successful this long, is going to keep on taking you on to newer and higher heights by the secret anointing that's on you. Because he's already on you. The Spirit of God is upon you. He's come upon you, and that God is in you. And so he's preparing you, just like David, to step into your destiny. The things you have not seen. David didn't expect this to happen. He hadn't even heard about no Goliath. He never expected, even in his heart, this idea of becoming a king. God interrupted his life and set him up for a blessing. God's going to interrupt your life and set you up for a blessing. This will be the year that you will see the unseen become the seen. You're going to see things happen in your life that you have longed for, but it's going to be far and above that because God specializes in doing things big. You serve a big, big God. You serve an awesome God. You serve a mighty God. He's omnipotent and all-knowing. He knows it all. He's seen the end before your beginning. So even though things may not be working out for you and you may be facing adversity, hear this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You need to know it's going to end. That which you're dealing with today is about to end. It's temporal. Because that's what God says. The things that you see are temporary. Come on. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians. 4th chapter, verse 18. The things that you see are temporary, but the things unseen, they are eternal. Come on. When you get that business, it's going to keep on keeping on. It's not going to fail because God is going to do it. When you get what God has in store for you, church, it's so that you can be a testimony to the goodness of God. And so as I close today, I got to give you this testimony. 27, 28 years now, God spoke to us, my wife and I. We were foster parents. And because I was a physician assistant in the Air Force, God had this state foster program to bring us a child who had just been born and deserted. She was a premature baby, 7 months. Weighed a little bit over 2 pounds. Dressed her in doll clothes. Fit in my hand. But all these tubings, because the crack mother that she was born to from never had any prenatal care. And came, had the baby, and deserted the hospital. But God doesn't make any junk. Here, let me tell you this. The word says he knew us before the foundation of this world. It doesn't matter if a child comes through incest, rape, if they come into the earth realm, remember they were a spirit first. And God knew them before they came in the earth realm. Come on. This is the month for the movement for life. Okay? Right for life. And so you need to understand this. My testimony is about the goodness of God. Because God said to us, adopt that baby. We were foster parents. He said, adopt that baby. Nobody wants her. Adopt her. I want her. And so take her in. Well, they predicted she's going to have development delays, maybe some disabilities because of not having the prenatal care, the crack that probably be in her bloodstream. And God said, but that ain't going to happen. You're going to lay hands on her and she's going to be healed. And that's what we did. She's the business administrator for our church right now. God is good. But that's not the end of the story. That child that we adopted 28 years ago now became my living donor. They diagnosed me 4 years ago with end-stage renal disease. 2 years ago, I was in the last stages, and they were telling me, you got to go on dialysis. And I'm like, God, I don't want to go on dialysis. I saw my dad on dialysis for 20 years, and he didn't have no quality of life. You've heard me preach it all the time, God. I don't believe in the quantity of life. I believe in the quality of life. So I'm going to stand on your word in Psalm 107. It says in verse 20 that I shall not die, but I shall live that I can do the works of God. That's what I'm here for. And so, Lord, I'm standing on your word. The doctor says you got to get a shunt, and it needs 3 months to mature because your kidney's about to fail. And if they fail, you won't have a shunt. You won't be ready to, you could die. I said, no, God said, I shall not die, but I shall live and do the works of God. And so I'm going to get a living donor. So I told my church, I told my family, and who knows it? That daughter was the only one that matched me. Nobody in my family, nobody in the church, just her. Let me tell you the goodness of God. God knew 28 years ago that I was going to need a kidney 28 years later. He prepared. That's what his word said. Has prepared. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Nor has it entered in your heart the things that I have prepared for you because you love me. I prepared this for you for such a time as this. And me and her went to surgery on the same day. I took her kidney. I got it right here. And she is only got one kidney right now. But both of us are alive and well. Thank God for his goodness. One act of kindness. One act of kindness. Hear me, please. One act of kindness can bless you for a lifetime. You got to be careful how you treat people. When God says do it, do it. Don't judge them from the outside. Just do what God said. That's being led by the Spirit. We were led by the Spirit to bless this child. And as a result of that, that blessing came back on me. The blessings are going to overtake you. You don't need to run after blessings. You need to run after God. Give me these two young men right here. You two right now. You two. And I'm closing with this. You two, brother. Come on. Yeah, I like you. Come on, come on, come on. I like both of you guys. I got you going now. Amen. All right, now look, look, look. Y'all both got two roles. You're the blessings of God, and you're the man of God running after blessings. Okay? I want y'all to turn to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 2. Deuteronomy, 28th chapter, verse 2. Now, when they get there, I want you to take off running after blessings. You're going after blessings. Go around the building. You can walk fast. You can do whatever you want to do. Okay? Everybody at Deuteronomy 28? Here's what it says there. If you will be diligent to obey the things that I've commanded you, these blessings, in verse 2 says, the blessings shall what? Come upon you and what? Overtake you. So take off blessing. Going after blessing. You're going after blessing. Now you're going after him. You're the blessing. You got to get that man. You got to get it. You're running after blessings, man. Wait a minute. No, keep running. Run. You're running after blessings. Stay focused. Stay focused. Some of y'all are running after cars. Some of y'all are running after a new spouse. Some of y'all are running after husbands. And you're running after new jobs. You're running after prosperity. You're running after healing for your body. You're running after these things. But here's the key. Here's the key. Stop running after blessings. Now run after, turn and run towards God. No, not you, brother. You are God. Stand still. See, what has to happen is instead of running after blessing, you turn and run after the blesser. If you run after the blesser will overtake you. Or if you just slow down with your life, the blessings will overtake you. This is the year. Give these guys a round of applause. This is the year that you will see the unseen become the seen. But the key to it is running after the blesser. The Holy Spirit is the blesser. You need more of God. David was a God chaser. He had a heart after God. Listen to his Psalms. Psalm 63, verse 1. Early will I seek you. Come on. Early will I seek you. He was a seeker after God. Oh, how about this one? As the deer pants for the water brooks. Psalm 47. So my soul pants and longs for the God that I serve. Amen? See, listen. He's the same one that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He had a heart after God. Beloved, everything I've talked to you about and even the things that I've not said that the Holy Spirit has said to you while you've been sitting here can be yours if you will be a God chaser. If you will seek the Spirit of God. Many of you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. What? You are missing out on one of the blessings of God. He gives us not only Jesus, because he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. He gives you the Holy Spirit. This is the advantage that Jesus said. It's to your advantage that I go away, so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. He's your advantage. David got it. You and I need to have it. You got to be hungry and thirsting for God. They that hunger and thirst for God shall be filled. Don't be intimidated. The Holy Spirit will never hurt you. He's a comforter. He will bless your life just as he's blessed mine and bless your pastor and others. He wants to bless you. So I want to ask you a simple question. Two simple questions. Do you love God? Do you want more of God? Stand to your feet. If you want more of God, I want you to come to this altar with your hands lifted up. If you want more of God, come to the altar. For God says in Psalm 107, verse 8, he will satisfy the longings of your heart with his goodness. His goodness. Just come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Just lift your hands wherever you are. Come on, y'all. Come a little closer so those in the back can come in. I praise God for this great altar call. Amen. Yeah, I love it. Dennis, you have a wonderful church here. They love God. They love God and they want more of God. Amen. And so in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray. Holy Spirit, come upon them now in a fresh and new way. If you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Loud. Let's pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Just pray in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, come afresh and anew on some that have not received you. Come afresh and anew upon those that have not yet received you. Come afresh and anew, God, because that is what they have need of. Your Spirit guiding, directing them. Infusing them with all that you have for them in the name of Jesus. And now bless them, oh God. Bless them even now for those who are being refilled in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to bless the Lord now. Thank him. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his power. Thank him for his love for you. Just begin to thank God for the good things that he's blessed you with, because more is coming. God blesses those who are grateful for what he's already done, and he gives them so much more. Father, in Jesus' name, I release in the name of Jesus the power of your Spirit to release the blessings of God upon your people in the name of Jesus. Upon your people in the name. Some people need healing today. Some people need deliverance today. Some people need a touch from you today. Some people need a new job. Some people need something special to come from you, God. And we know that you are more than able. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, wrap your people with your love. Some people need a touch of your love right now, God. Wrap your arms around them. Draw them near unto you. Show them how much you love them, God. Show them how much you love them. Remove that obstacle that has been standing in their way. In the name of Jesus, we speak to that obstacle and be commanded to push back and be cast into the sea. Every mountain, do not doubt in your heart, but just know that God is God and he shall do what you are not able to do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for your love for us, for your tender touch in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If there's anyone here today and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or if you once served God but you went back on your promises and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I need you to come see me right now. Lift your hand and wave it in the air. I want to pray for you right now. Rededication, come, come, come. Rededication, come up, come up. I want to pray for you right now. Rededication, come on. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Come on. God is a good God. He longed for you to see his glory. Hallelujah. God bless you, my dear. Come on up. Come on up. Hallelujah. Come on up. I'm not into this altar, that all that stuff about that. Come on, come on, come on. God, they're coming. Thank you. Make room for more. Amen. Father God, we're so grateful for these, your children, who've come to you to rededicate their life, to recommit their life to serving you with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. And so we give you praise right now for you wrapping your arms around them, drawing them near to you, and building up their faith by doing miraculous works in their lives. We know you to be a good God, and you will receive them now in your love, in Jesus' name. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? Take the hand of the person next to you and repeat this prayer after me. I'm going to pray for you, then repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for touching their lives now. Seal the deal in Jesus' name. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've drawn me to this altar by your great love, by your mercy that you've shown me despite myself. And now I receive your love. I receive your acceptance. And I become yours again. I come to rededicate my life from this day forward. I will allow you to be the Lord of my life, and I will never, never go back on my commitment. In Jesus' name, I'm yours. Amen. Let's give God some praise.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website, www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.